Morning, everyone. Yes, looking round, I'm grateful for the introduction in its entirety, somewhat overwhelmed by it, but also grateful just for Elaine saying who I am, because looking around, I think there are maybe people who don't know who I am. So just a little bit more. Kind of part of the furniture. My wife and I celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary last Friday, which means that we've been... which means two things. It means that the Galatians 5 fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is very present in my wife. And it also means we've been here 32 years. So, a little bit part of the furniture. Have the privilege of being part of the central team, as Elaine has just said, which means that... sort of move around a bit Sunday by Sunday. And as I might mention in the course of the talk, I'm also privileged to be at the moment the CEO of Links International, a missions organisation. This morning, what I have to bring is actually very simple. I was very grateful for Jan's prayer in the pre-match warm-up, sorry, the pre-meeting prayer meeting, where she did pray something about simple, and I was very grateful for that, because I knew what I had to bring was quite simple. But it is really based around a passage that's just been bugging me for a little while, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago at our joint meeting together, if you were there when I was talking about mission. And really it forms the heart of what I want to share this morning. But we are going to be, I'm going to be reading to you, and if you have a Bible, you're going to be following. There you go, this is the point to reach under your chair and pick out your Bible or your diary, because as I always say, it looks better than having nothing in front of you. So I'm going to be reading a few passages. We're going to start in Genesis 1, and then we're going to work our way through book by book. No, we're going to start in Genesis 1. Then we're going to jump to John 1, and then we're going to jump to 1 John. So just while I witter on for a little while, if you've got a Bible, you might like to sort of be putting your finger or those nice, helpful little ribbon things or bits of paper in those parts of the Bible. Genesis 1, John 1, and 1 John 1. As well, whilst you're still finding Genesis 1, John 1, and 1 John 1, I just wanted to wave this leaflet in front of you. Hands up if you own one of these leaflets. That is quite a few people not waving their hands at me, in which case, at the conclusion of this meeting, there are some in a box at the back at the moment by the welcome table. Can somebody in authority and responsibility and with great faithfulness take responsibility for making sure that people get these this morning? They say, what's on at River Church in autumn 2011? We, on the central team, have taken the remarkably radical step of letting you know what's going on in advance. And doing that, hopefully in a way that everyone can take away and stick on their fridge or put in the downstairs loo or put on the coffee table or whatever. Yes, we do want you to continue to look at emails and the website, but we thought a piece of paper would be helpful for some of you. So, please do take one of these away. There are some important events and new initiatives as well mentioned on here. Not least the back page where it talks about a date for your diary for 2012. Now, how about that for forward planning people? About a year's time, when we have Riverfest 12, which is our whole church weekend away together, we would like as many people as possible there. There will be more information about that very shortly, but please make a note in your diary. And inside it talks about some new initiatives, for example some new prayer meetings led by the lovely Jan. Just to explain, in those prayer meetings, we are seeking to address some of what are called the mountains of our culture. Things which are important in our culture, in the way that we live. We're starting with two. The first one is about education. The next one is about business. But there will be more, will there not, Jan? And the point of these meetings is that, it's twofold really, that anyone and everyone comes along to pray about those things. things in our culture and pray into those parts of our culture, but also for those people who are particularly involved in those things, so education, for example, or in the second case, business, come along to be prayed for as well. So it is twofold. It's not just for people involved in education, the first one. It's for everyone, but it is for people involved in education, whether you're a teacher or a governor or something like that, to come along and be prayed for. And the other thing, just very quickly to mention, is what we've called at the moment development courses, because we couldn't think of a nice snappy title for it in time for the leaflet. But these are going to be occasions where on a Thursday evening, a Friday evening, and a Saturday morning, there will be a number of different little courses running which are aimed to build us up in our faith, whether that is looking at something in depth, biblically, theologically, or whether it is looking at something, I was going to say practical, that doesn't mean scripture isn't practical, but things, for example, like money management and so on. And we will have a number of those things running in parallel, Thursday evening, Friday evening, Saturday morning, so you can follow something through in more depth. Every now and again, we have put on things like that. What we're trying to do with this is to create a rhythm so we know when those things are going on. So, do take the leaflet away, do read it through, do ask anyone in leadership what it's all about if you're not sure. Last week, I got hold of this diary, 1902. Member of Lina's family was having a clear out, actually following someone passing away, and we were sort of, there's a big box of books, and we were told, help yourself to what you want. So I can tell you from the, there's a lot of information in the backs and the fronts of these old diaries, and inside, fortunately, I'm not reading someone's secrets, it's blank. But I can tell you with great authority that in 1902, the American dollar was worth 4 shillings and tuppence, which is about a fifth of a pound, old pounds, which kind of meets, I think it's $5 to the pound. Is that about right? That's, I can tell you that, well, some of you will, like me, remember that there was 144 square inches to the square foot. But did you know that in measurement of cloth, 2.5 inches was called one nail, 4 nails was 1/4, and 4/4 was 1 yard? There we go. Did you know that a firkin of butter equaled 56 pounds, and that a fodder of lead was 19.5 hundredweight in London and Hull, but in Derby it was 22.5 hundredweight, and in Newcastle it was 21.5 hundredweight. You see, you need to have one of these books, you see, if you weren't going to be diddled out of your fodder of lead. And income tax in 1902 was set at the rate of 1 shilling and tuppence in the pound. Well, there were 20 shillings to the pound, for those of you looking totally blank at me when about shillings. There were 20 shillings to the pound. So that is a rate of 1/20th, which is 5%. There were some good things about 1902, it would seem. I just really wanted to read you those, but I have written on this card to make the link. There are some facts from the past which are out of date. What I want us to look at and listen to, and if you then don't really listen to anything else I say, just be blessed and impacted by the word of God. Here is some truth which is eternal, which might be old, but it is some truth which is eternal and relevant for now. How many nails of cloth you might want to buy probably isn't so relevant. This is. In the beginning, and you don't get much more ancient than that, in the beginning, God. Just, as they say in scripture, Selah, stop and think about that one. In the beginning, God. I told you it was simple. Now, I could actually just preach on that. That in the beginning, well, first of all, that there was a beginning. There was a start to all of this. It's not just an endless cycle. But in the beginning, there was God. Before any of this. Before any of us. Before our ingenuity. Before our cleverness. Before our joys. Before our problems. In the beginning, God. Not just any God. Not a God who wanted to stand aloof. Not a God who, even though he was complete within himself, wanted to stay separate and complete by himself. But in the beginning, God created. Now, I don't want to get sucked into the whole thing of how did he do that and how did it all happen. I'm not concerned with how many days or millennia. I am concerned with the truth, the eternal truth, that in the beginning there was God. The God who chose to create, because that's what he's like. In the beginning, God created. And his project wasn't small. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the language of the ancient world, that's all there is. The heavens and the earth. That's it. He created everything. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be," in this case, light. And there was. This is the God who just had to speak the word out of his creativity, out of his heart, to share the life that was within him and was him. And he speaks the word, "Let there be," and there was. And as you know, later on, where are we? Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man," generic term, male and female, "in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created. This is the God who wanted to share the life that was within him. And he wants to do that relationally. So he creates people in his own image. John 1. In the beginning. By the way, that means that just in those first few verses of Genesis, you've got an awful lot of knowledge about the God whom we love and serve. That he is the author of life. That he is creative, that he is relational, that what he says happens. There's quite a lot of the gospel there, isn't there? John 1, in the beginning. You kind of sense a thread running through this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God. Before or else, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. And then 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, brackets, the life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, close brackets, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and these things we write to you, that you may jolly well get on and do the right thing and be corrected and put your nose to the grindstone and get on with it. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message you've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we've got fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Just flipping over to chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. I could have read from John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation. I can never say that word properly. Propitiation, thank you, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. But by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us because he's given us his Spirit. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Three very simple points I want to make. First of all, life flows from God. I said it already, I want to say it again. Life flows from God. All of life and eternal life. In the beginning, God. And we can get absorbed in our problems, and we have them, and for you at the moment it might be a small problem or it might be a very big problem. I know people in this room coping with very big problems right now, and the word of God to each one of us is, in the beginning God. And life flows from him. He is before all things. And that doesn't instantly make our problems go away, but it does put another perspective on them or help to do so. And outside of our problems, let's just do a quick audit of our life as to where we're placing God. Is he in the beginning? Is he first place? Are we looking to him for life to flow? Or are we, am I, kind of just getting on with it? Life flows from God. Our life flows from God. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in the middle of the summer, in a under renovation sports hall, let's just do that spiritual audit of where is God for you right now. Is he in the beginning? You see, John, in his epistle, in his letter, was trying to put into words what it was that they had physically encountered in Jesus. And so in the beginning of this letter, he says, you know, that which was from the beginning. He recognized that this word of life, which he goes on to say was personified in Jesus, incarnated in Jesus. But that which was from the beginning was the source of all life. And somehow they had encountered it. And it wasn't just abstract. In fact, it wasn't abstract at all. Even though he uses the language of a word, he then goes on to talk about how they had encountered that life. And it was something tangible, something that they could see, something that they, yes, could hear, but something that they could touch. In other words, this word of life, this life of God, is something for all of us, every part of us, and every part of our life. It's not just something to sing about on a Sunday morning. It's not just something to consider on a Sunday morning, or if we're keener, Wednesday or Thursday evening as well. It's something totally holistic for our life. It's in the beginning. Secondly, that life, just really going on from what I've just been saying, that life is full of light and love. God is love. So what is the life of God going to be like? Well, it's going to be full of love. John, in his letter, talks a lot about light and love. Talks about walking in light and God being light. At the beginning of his letter, he talks about the fact that light entered darkness and darkness couldn't overcome it. If the life of God is flowing in us, then our lives should be characterized by light and love. Psalm 4, verse 6 says, my slight paraphrase, all around us people are saying, who can show us any good? Let the light of your countenance shine upon us, God. Just take a look in your newspaper today, or on the BBC website, or wherever you're going to get news from, and ask yourself the question, are people looking for light? Yes, they are. All around us, just like it was when the psalmist wrote Psalm 4, verse 6, people are saying, who can show us any good? God's light is the answer to that question. And that light is part of the life we have received in him. We are. And I mean this literally, we are, God help us, the answer to that question. Who can show us any good? And that means, as it said in those verses in 1 John, that means us walking in light. Light is something to be walked out. Yes, light is something to be to guide, but light is also something that reveals. The same light that lights the way can also be a spotlight on us, which God does out of his love. So this life that, number one, flows from God is a life of light and love. So the next thing to reflect on, are we walking in light? Are there areas of darkness in my life? Are there things we need to bring out of the darkness into the light for God to deal with? In order that we can more clearly show that light, more clearly be part of that light that can guide, that can answer that question, who can show us any good? And in order that we can, my third point, fulfill that verse from the fourth chapter of 1 John, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, I just want to be clear. I think it's important we look at the context of Scripture, particularly with verses like this, as he is, so are we in this world. It's a bit like that verse in one of Paul's letters where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes you hear verses like that talked about as if, you know, suddenly we're Superman. You know, I can leap tall buildings with a single bound. Or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What, really? All things? Well, actually, if you look at the context of that verse, Paul is talking about how he is able to live in abundance and blessing, and he's also able to walk with God in hard times and difficult times. And in that context, he says, I can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to have similar caution with this verse here, as he is, so are we in this world. Because, well, John is verse 12, no one's ever seen God at any time. You know, he's not trying to set us up as God. But in the context of these verses, he is talking about the God who is love. He is talking about how the love of God should be made manifest in our lives. And he's talking about the way in which that has a practical application in the way that we love one another, love other people. And in that context, he is saying, just as God is love, so are we like that for this world. That's what we're called to be, that same love for this world. So life flows from God. That life is full of light and love, and we experience that. We experience the light of God in our lives. We experience the love of God in our lives. But third point, we are here to give that away. And just as John says that he has experienced the love and the light of God as something which can be heard, which can be seen, which can be touched, which can be experienced, which is tangible, just as that is, should be, can be, our experience of the love of God in our lives, so too, that should be people's experience of the love of God through us. The love of God that we carry is something for people to, yes, hear. But it should be something that people can see and observe in our lives. And it should be something that people can touch, handle, experience. And that's it, really. It is these verses which talk about the seeability, the hearability, the touchability of the life of God for us, but also through us, that is bugging me. Because I just want to keep asking myself the question, and I'm going to close and ask you this question as well. And maybe, Tom, could you come and bless us with your very, very nice guitar playing? I want to close with three questions. In the next 7 days, how are people going to hear the life, the light, and the love of God through you? How will they hear it? In this next 7 days, how will people see the life full of light and love, the life of God in me, in you? And in this next 7 days, how will people tangibly touch and experience that life of God, full of light and love? Yeah, I talked about the fact that I'm CEO of a missions development organization called Lynx, and you know, in some ways that's the situations we go into are difficult. In some ways it's easier to answer that question that I've just asked, you know, because we can go and visit a very poor community and we can bring the love of God just in what we say, how we are, just by going. And we can bring things which bring light into their situation. Show them a way forward. Show them a way out of their poverty. And it can be very tangible. You know, it can be stuff like water filters or solar panels or other things. And that's good. You know, that's holistic mission. But the challenge for me, maybe you find it easy, how are we going to live that holistic mission out in the next 7 days in Maidenhead? So I just want, while Tom plays, I'm going to shut up. And I want to allow just a few minutes for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And you might want to have a pen in your hand or a smartphone or somewhere you can make a note of what God says, because I believe God's heart for being incarnated in this world, for being made flesh in this world, is such that he wants to speak to us about opportunities. The word that became flesh is still looking to be made flesh in the next 7 days where we live. The word of life that came and was heard and seen and touched still wants to be heard and seen and touched in this next 7 days. But now it's through us. And as we order our lives correctly with In the Beginning God, what could he do with us? So I promised I'd shut up, and I will.